Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal, Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring you exciting new guests to talk about all these various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. And like I always say, it's a really big universe out there. There's a lot of things that we don't understand, and there's a lot of very interesting stuff to talk about. And let me tell you, boy, does our guest tonight have some very interesting stories, which I'm sure you haven't heard before. So it's going to be a pretty exciting show. I hope you all were able to join us last week. Our guest was an amazing man. His name is William Buhlman, B-U-H-L-M-A-N. And he's written a couple of books about out-of-body exploring. Some very popular books published by major publishers. And what a fascinating, nice man. We talked all about his out-of-body experiences, how he started having them spontaneously and ended up going out of his body thousands of times and visiting his deceased loved ones and going to other dimensions and going to the Akashic Library and all sorts of really cool stuff. And anybody can do it. It's very easy to do. Just pick up any book like his, and there will be exercises on how to do it in there, and it's just a fascinating, fascinating thing, and I encourage everyone to give it a try. Remember, the shows are on the archives, so if you missed the show, you can check it out on the BBS archives. But tonight, we are moving in a slightly different direction. Actually, we're moving in a lot of directions tonight, because, boy, does our guest have a variety of unusual experiences. This is exactly the kind of person I find so fascinating. Because not only do they have UFO experiences, but there are other very unusual experiences, such as ghosts, and really it goes on from there. Our guest tonight is Lillian Vinkovich, and I've actually interviewed her for a book that I'm currently working on about UFOs. So that's how I found out about her, and she's had some really amazing UFO experiences, which I hope that she'll share with us tonight, along with some of her other unusual experiences. So with ghosts, of course, and red balls of light in her house, and all sorts of really interesting stuff. So I'd like you all to welcome our guest tonight. Her name, again, is Lillian Vinkovich, V-I-N-K-O-V-I-C-H, Lillian Vinkovich. Lillian, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Hi, Preston. How are you? Hello, everyone.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I am very busy, but I'm glad about it.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are. Well, thank you for that intro. That was very nice of you. Yes, I've had a lot of experiences. Did you want me to start?
Well, let's start at the very beginning.
Well, I was born in July 19th. No, I don't want to go that far back. But one of the things that, you were saying about UFOs and ghosts and all kinds of stuff, yeah, I've had experiences in all of those. And I think one of the ones that I really want to start off with was the experience that I've had with the Greys. That was in 1998, August, and my daughter had, my oldest daughter wanted to spend the weekend with a friend of hers, so I decided that I was going to sleep in her room that night. So I went to bed, and it was around 2 o'clock in the morning that I felt that either something or someone was in the room. You know how sometimes you just get that feeling that, you know,
sure,
someone's
yeah.
there?
Right, yeah.
And so anyway, I got up. I got out of my sleep and noticed that I couldn't move. I couldn't even open my eyes. I was like I was paralyzed.
Right.
So finally, out of really, really fighting, I got one eye opened, and then I opened up eventually my other eye. And when I did that, I saw 6 grays by my bed.
Now, did you know about the grays at this point? I mean, had you
yes,
heard of
I
grays?
Did. Oh, I've always been fascinated with UFOs, and I've always, you know, looked up on them and been watching the skies to see if I can actually see one. But at that point, I never did, at that time.
Right.
So what had happened was, like I said, I saw the sixth grace there. I was still paralyzed. The only thing that I could move was my eyes. And the one that was to the on my left-hand side basically turned around and said to me, "Don't be afraid. We're not here to harm you. We're here on a mission."
Wow.
I thought, okay. So when I said that and you know, the paralysis starting to go down, you know, I was starting to get feeling back into my body that I could move a little bit. And the other guys, like the other five of them, were just standing there, you know, all around the bed.
Huh.
And so what had happened after that was, the one that was on my left-hand side had a wand in his hands. And the wand was maybe about a foot long and about 2 inches in diameter. And it was bright. It was like shining.
The whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing was just like shining. It was like, I guess myself, I felt that it was like full of energy.
Wow.
So what he did was he took the wand and he went from the top of my head down to the tips of my toes. And that's all he did. So then the guy beside on my right-hand side turned around and he said, "You know, extend your arm." So I extended my arm. And that, I don't know until later what happened. But in the interim of all this, I sat up at one point on the bed and just sat there and looked at them. And I was shaking my head going, "Is this real? Like, someone pinch me."
Were you afraid?
Actually, I wasn't. I don't know why, but I wasn't afraid. It was just such a, I had such a calming feeling in me.
Okay.
I didn't want to, you know, sometimes when you see things like that, you just want to run, you know, just jump out of the bed and just run. But that wasn't the case. I just sat there and I was in awe with them. Because I've always known about the grays. You know, people say, well, they're, you know, like they're 4 feet high and, you know, their body, their head is a bigger than their body, which is true. And their eyes are like dark, you know, and they're big. And they had
go ahead. Different? Was there anything different about them? That, I mean, anything that surprised you that was different from how you had heard of or read?
Well, yeah, because of the fact that they were so, I didn't feel that they were going to harm me. There's a lot of, you know, things out there that is written on the internet and so on, you know, that they're going to harm you. I know that there, a lot of people have had abductions and, you know, they weren't very pleasant, a lot of them, you know.
Right.
Like, look at Fire in the Sky, look what happened to him. You know, he was, like, he had a awful experience.
Well, you know what? No, that part of the movie was actually fictionalized. That the
was
onboard
it?
UF. Yeah, can you believe that? The producers thought it.
Why would they do something like that?
Oh, all the UFO investigators and the whole UFO community was really upset about it. Because I have the book. I have actually. There's more than one book on that case. And he had a really, you know, it wasn't unpleasant at all for him, except for the very end when Travis Walton.
Mm-hmm.
When. I mean, he was taken on board a craft, and there were human-looking ETs as well as greys, and
right.
He saw other ships, and
mm-hmm.
he went into another room, and there were stars on the wall, and but, you know, it's not your typical abduction.
Wow,
really.
Because the movie was a lot different than that.
I know, but I know.
He came back, and he was, like, petrified, and even in the ship, they showed, you know, how scared he was with all the, you know, experiments or whatever they were doing with him. Was
it
that
was
part
very
true as well? I'm sorry?
It was scary. I mean, he did have, it was scary for him a little bit, you know. I mean,
okay.
I'm sure there was trauma involved to a
yeah.
certain extent. But, you know, you're right. A lot of abductions that
yeah.
people are reporting are not pleasant.
No.
Put it that way.
And exactly. And my heart goes out to them because the fact that, you know, they had a bad experience. But mine seemed to be really, really nice. And it was very nurturing, actually, to tell you the truth. It was just a very nice experience. So going back to the story, so the next morning when I woke up, I thought it was all a dream. I thought,
wait a minute. Can we back up for just 1 second?
Mm-hmm.
The grays, were, I mean, were, did you notice any clothes on them?
Yes, they did. They had a one-piece suit on. It was a very light gray color, very light gray. Them themselves were like a baby powder color. Their features were, they have very small noses, very thin penciled mouths.
Right.
I didn't notice any ears, though. I didn't notice any ears on them.
And
but,
do you remember how the experience ended?
I fell back asleep. I
while
fell
they were
asleep.
Still there?
I don't know. Well, when I fell asleep, yes, they were still there, I would say. But it was nice. I just fell asleep, and like I said, the next morning I woke up, and I thought, okay, this is a dream that I had, and but it was so vivid. You know, it was, like, even to this day I'm talking about it. And it's like, how many years after, you know? And I still see them. So anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is, like I said, I thought it was a dream. But when I looked on the inside of my arm, near their elbow part, there were two small horizontal marks that were there. And I know that they weren't there when I went to bed that night.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's a lot more to this story.
Well, I mean, what did you think when you saw that? You're like,
I'm going, what happened? You know, did I start? No, because I'm just looking at it, and I'm going, I don't know how this happened, you know?
Huh.
So
well,
after that,
did you relate it to your experience at that time?
Well, a couple of hours later, when I came basically to my senses and realized that this truly did happen, I tried to tell my daughters this, and they, of course, think I'm nuts. Anytime I talk to them about UFOs, they think I'm crazy. So, you know, it's hard when people don't understand you. It's very hard to tell them what's going on, and there's so many people out there that are trying to tell, you know, us or the human population that, yes, this is happening. They are out there. And more and more are being seen around.
Right. Boy, I talk to so many people who are having to do
this. Oh, I'm sure you do.
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. But that's now funny. They're just, you know what they're doing now is just basically showing you that they're there. And, you know, there's a lot of people see crafts of different sorts, of different colors, and so on and so forth. All around the world, there's been reports. But now they're just showing themselves, hi, yeah, we do exist. We are here. But
right.
There's going to be coming a time, I believe, next year and the year after, especially around 2011, you'll see so much more. And in contact might even be made at that time. They're getting ready for it.
I think you're right. You know, I think it's inevitable. I mean,
very much so.
It can't go the other way because UFOs have always been around and they're not going to go away.
Oh, they've been here since the beginning of time, basically.
Right.
I mean, you know, they've always been here. I mean, the galaxy is huge. For a person to believe that we're the only planet in this whole universe that has life. No, not at all. There's so much intelligent life out there that they're years and years ahead of us.
Right. Well, have you seen the Greys after that one experience?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
no, I haven't. But I did see something else.
Uh-huh. What's that?
That was after I saw the Greys. in 98. In 1999, I started writing a book called A Conversation With. And what had happened was a friend of mine, we were working on the book, and we were coming near the end of the book, and it was a sad time for us, because the book itself is written by us, but what had happened was an entity or a species known as Ashtar spoke
right.
through me, and we wrote the book like that. So what would happen when we were writing the book was Sean would be asking me a question, and somehow they just took over. They just, you know, and I would be answering him the questions or the answers.
What was that like the first time? I mean, how did you know it was Ashtar?
It kind of, you know, Preston, it scared me because I didn't know what was going on.
Imagine. Right.
It's like, okay, there's somebody in me. You know?
It's
but you get used to it after a while. It took us about a year to write the book. So you get used to it after a while, and they make you feel very comfortable. So, but anyway, that's the way we wrote the book.
Well, what does it? What does that feel like? I mean, when it
what does it feel like?
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, it's when they're coming through, all I see is black, and I just it's like fade to black, you know. And they take over. They start talking. I don't move around a lot, so I've been told. And they answer all the questions that that you ask them.
Huh. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the book about? What was it called?
It was about, everything. They talked about the planet, how we're destroying it. They talked about, there's a commander, and there's like a bunch of them that came through. And each one of them had... you know, their say, and it was basically about what we're doing to each other, you know, how we're destroying ourselves. They talked about love. They talked about that we should love each other and cherish each other, and why do we have wars? They don't understand why we have such really bad feelings towards each other.
Right.
You know, there was just, it was mostly about how we should get along with each other and stop destroying this beautiful planet that we have, and that they're watching us, and yet they can't do anything to stop us. It's like, look at the kids. They found the matches, you know, when the atomic bombs go off, and or when we have a war. Wars are constant.
They are.
Like, what are you fighting for? Why are children being... you know, killed? For what reason? I don't understand. It's not a necessity. You should learn to live with each other in peace and harmony.
Yeah,
and that's what basically was... I'm sorry?
For some reason, we're very warlike. I remember years ago I wrote an article called UFO, Don't Shoot. And we've shot at UFOs many, 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 many times.
Do you know how much I laugh at that? Like, what are you shooting? Okay, hold on. I was talking to a friend of mine about that, and it's like, why are you shooting? Do you really think that you can destroy them? That's so funny.
It is. It is funny.
It shows you man's intelligence of the unknown. It's like the first thing they do is you know, if they see something that feels like a threat to them, kill it. You know, it's the
right.
first thing.
It's almost animalistic behavior.
Exactly. Exactly. Not even. I mean, animals are even better than that.
That's true.
But no, that's their first thing. Kill it. Before it has a chance to do with it. Oh, they're here to harm us. Oh, come on. You know what? They've been here for thousands of years. If you think that they're going to harm you now, they could have harmed you a long time ago.
Right. That's, I think, the best argument for the non-hostility of UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I mean, they've been here way, way before us.
Of course. They've been here in the pyramid times. I believe so myself that they are the ones that helped build the pyramids. I truly believe that.
That's a very popular theory.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's writing that book, that's pretty exciting. And you know what I find most interesting about it is very positive. And that's something that turns up again and again in UFO accounts, actually, is ETs are telling people, they're warning us of we're polluting our environment.
Yes.
And against nuclear proliferation and pollution and all those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very positive thing.
What they're trying to do is I believe at one time that Asher told me that they had destroyed their own planet as well. And they were trying to say, you know, you're doing the same thing. I believe that there was life on Mars. I truly believe that at one time.
Yeah, I think there's that growing evidence of that, too.
You know, I wrote that in the book. Like I said, I wrote the book in 2000. So here we are in 2009. You know, it's now they're starting to say, yes, I think there was water on Mars. And yes, we feel that, you know, there was life on Mars at one time.
Uh-huh.
I truly believe there was.
Well,
I also believe that mankind destroyed that as well. And let's go to this one over here. This one looks good. So we're doing the same thing again.
Is this basically, you know, when on the Ashtar ship, I mean, did they tell you who's on board the ship and things like that?
Yes, they do. They have names, which they have given me, so I guess, you know, that I can associate with them as they are human-looking, very human-looking. There's the commander, there's Nancy, there's Joseph, there's Joshua, and those are the ones that I was writing the most about in the book. And those are the ones. But,
you know, there's been a lot written about Ashtar. I'm trying to remember, but, you know, the Ashtar Command.
Yes.
Wasn't that a book?
Yes. Yes, so it was written a while ago.
That's interesting. So these guys are absolutely bound and determined to get their message out to us before we destroy ourselves.
Well, yes, and you know, they're really nice species. They're very helpful. They're one thing they said that they will not interfere in what we're doing. They're basically saying, well, if you're going to destroy yourself. But what it is they have people down here, as you said, that are trying to teach. And not just from Ashtar, everyone else who is trying their best, you know, to get the message out there or just basically say, you know, let's just live together peacefully, you know.
Right.
Whether that happens, I would love to see that happen, though.
Well,
we
just might see it.
I hope so.
Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight our guest is Lillian Vinkovich, and we're talking about her UFO encounters, her experiences with greys, which came into her bedroom one evening, and it was a very pleasant, it was not an unpleasant experience, and also about her experiences with Ashtar, which are truly fascinating. She's written a book about it and has a lot of very interesting information, which seems to be pretty important to our planet nowadays. I want to remind everyone that this is a call-in show, so if you have a question you'd like to ask our guest, or if you have a experience that you'd like to share or a comment, we would love to hear from you. We love callers in, so I'll give you the toll-free number right now. It's 888-228-4494. I'll repeat that in case you didn't have your pen, so grab your pen now. 888-228-4494. And, of course, this number is on the DBS website, and there's other toll-free international numbers if you're international and you'd like to call in. So check that out. We'd love to hear from you. Now, Lillian.
Yes.
did, in your contacts with Ashtar, did you ever get a chance to, like, meet them face-to-face or go on the ship?
Okay.
Or?
Okay. Yes, yes, and yes. No. Okay, what I wanted to say was when I was telling you about the book, okay, we were coming to an end, Sean and I both felt like we were losing a good friend. You know, we were with them for a while. And it was a somber time. And but anyway, this one day, we were working on it, and we were sitting at the kitchen table. And the way my kitchen is, my chair was facing my front door, and Sean was facing a wall.
Right.
But we were sitting there talking, and all of a sudden, I see this fog come from the front door, like a heavy fog. And the fog started going up the stairs into my living room and was coming towards me.
Huh. Was the door open?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Wow.
And I said to Sean, you got to see this. So he got out of his chair and he went and stood behind me. And we're both looking at this fog, like, appearing right in front. And I'm going, okay, again, pinch me. Am I seeing things? I mean, there's two of us that are seeing this.
Wow.
And the fog just kept on coming and coming. By this time, I'm getting scared now. Like, I don't know why this fog is in my house. And then all of a sudden, I see four figures standing in the fog. There's four of them. And Sean's looking at them. He's telling me, yeah, there are four. There's four, isn't there? I go, yeah, I think there's four. And they're starting to appear. And, you know, like the fog is giving way, and you're starting to see the silhouettes of these four beings standing there. So now I'm freaked out. I say to Sean, that's it. I can't handle this. And he's going, no, just stay here. Just stay here. Just watch.
How far away were you from the figure?
How far they were from me?
Yeah.
I would say about 30 feet.
Okay.
Away from me.
Wow. Okay.
And so anyway, I freaked out. And when I freaked out, all the fog started to go away. The figures went away. The fog went away. Everything went away.
Wow.
And you know what, Preston? To this day, I'm kicking myself for being like that. Because they were there. They came down, and they were in front of me. And they were coming, and I got afraid.
What did they look like? What did you see?
They were just tall. All I saw was that they were tall. They were all the same height. They were very tall. They were slim. Again, they were human-looking. I didn't see any features because they hadn't really materialized yet. You have to remember, they're coming from a different dimension.
Okay.
We're living, basically, or going into the fourth dimension. They had to come from the fifth or the sixth dimension. So for them to come here, you know, they have to, it's a lot for them to come here.
How did you know it was them? I mean, did you just...
I knew it. Something inside of me just told me it's them. I just
right.
knew it. And I shouldn't have been afraid. So, and that... Like I said, to this day, I'm very upset with myself, being the person that, you know, writing the book and being so close in contact with. I guess they basically wanted to show me, well, here we are. You've been talking to us for how long? And here we are. So that was one experience or two experiences. You want to hear some more? Are you there?
VBSRadio.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. We had a slight interruption there. Maybe the UFO people wanted to listen in. Maybe it was the secret government. Who knows? One of those weird things. But I want to welcome you back to the show. Our guest again is Lillian Vinkovich, and we're talking about her amazing experiences with UFOs. And remember, the call-in show, give us a call, 888-228-4494. We want to hear from you. 888-228-4494. Our guests would be happy to answer any questions you might have. And now, Lillian, that's a cool story. Wow, you know, that's a really amazing story.
You know what, Preston? I've got two phones in my hand right now in case this one dies. Again. I don't know what happened. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I was talking away, and then all of a sudden I'm going, Preston, where are you? Are you listening?
I was abducted.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I've got another story to tell you. And this one's a little weird, I guess. But anyway, my youngest daughter, aren't they all? My youngest daughter has a property up north, and we always go up there. She's got a beautiful campfire that we sit by at night. Anyway, this one night, it was her, Sean, who helped me write the book, and myself. And we're all sitting around the campfire. It must have been around, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning. And just having a really good time. Anyway, to make a long story short, my daughter got bored, so she started singing. And she's singing away, and of course, Sean and myself are just laughing at her. And next thing we know, this light comes down, like a yellowish, beautiful to the eyes, didn't bother my eyes at all, and just went right around us, perfect circle.
Huh.
That
wow.
Beautiful light. And of course, my daughter freaked out.
How close was it to you? How big was it?
What, the light?
Yeah.
I don't know, as big as the campfire itself, I don't know. It just encircled us.
So was it way up, high up in the sky, or was it pretty close to you?
No, you know what, Preston, I didn't even check to look. All I saw was this light was just, all of a sudden, it just snapped, it was there.
Huh.
And so anyway, of course, my daughter stopped singing right away, and she freaked out. Sean and I just sat there, and it stayed for, I don't know, about a minute and a half, and it was gone.
Huh.
So Sean looked up in the sky, and what he saw was a round orange ball, and he saw it take off, like really fast.
Wow.
Like a flaming red ball.
Right.
Oh, you know about those, right? I've seen them a couple of times. So
yeah,
my daughter. Go ahead.
I think that's a pretty common type of sighting, actually.
Yeah, it is. That's been coming around for a long time. I saw that February 14 as well when I went to my other daughter's. I went outside and was, just looking up at the sky, and there it was again. There was another orange ball. But this, my daughter said it was, again, going back to the other story, she was saying that it was a helicopter. And I told her, I said, it can't be a helicopter. There's no sound. I mean, you're surrounded by trees. There's no movement in the trees at all. It was like, it just came down on us.
Wow.
And I told her they didn't like her singing, so, that was really weird. That one got me. Like, I didn't see it go back up. I should have looked up. Sean did. He saw it go back up. So
that is interesting, because it's like it came down just to see you guys.
Yeah, basically. Are we scouting them out, or do I really not like her singing, you know? Could be. Anyway.
Bizarre. Very bizarre.
Yeah.
So what about ghosts?
Ghosts?
Yeah.
Ghosts, wow. Yeah. My house. My house was full of them. My first husband passed away when he was 21. So I was a widow, like at 20.
Oh my gosh.
And I never wanted to go in the basement. For some reason, I never wanted to go down there. It kind of spooked me. But we have a beautiful, I have a beautiful rec room downstairs. I spent a lot of time down there. But I would never go down by myself. But after my first husband died, I remarried. And we lived in this house again. And one night, we got into a fight. And I thought, you know what, I'm going downstairs and I'm going to sleep down in the basement. So off I go. And fall asleep. And I wake up with someone poking me in the ribs.
Huh.
Like, wake up.
All right.
And I wake up and I see my husband standing there, the one that passed away.
Oh, wow.
And he's standing right beside me. And I'm thinking, okay. And he's looking at me. And at that moment in time, I thought, like, what do you want? What he said was, I want to make sure that you're okay. And Tammy, my oldest daughter, is from him. And he said, I want to make sure that Tammy is okay. I'm here to watch over you.
Wow.
And I thought it was beautiful.
Was he totally solid looking? I mean, could you see through him?
No, he wasn't solid. You could see... you can see basically through him, but it was like a silhouette sort of, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the funny thing was that I wasn't afraid of him.
Huh.
Because, you know, you shouldn't be afraid of people who have passed away. I mean, they loved you when they were alive. They're not going to hurt you when they're gone. You know, a lot of people are afraid of spirits. There's no reason to be.
Well, that's what I always tell people. I mean, they're people. They're people just like you and I. And
of course.
I mean, if you know someone, then there's certainly no reason to be afraid of them, even
yeah,
after,
exactly.
You know. Wow, that's such a cool message. That's really amazing that he came back to tell you that.
Yes. And he was here for a long time. He was here for almost 3 years. And it got to be like he was part of the family.
What do you mean?
You know, every time. I'm sorry?
He was here. How did you know he was
in the house? He was in the house. He just basically was, you know, just watching to make sure that everything was okay. He would play tricks on me. I would be vacuuming. He'd shut off the vacuum. Just to tell me that he was there. Or he'd move things and I can't find them. He would hide things and I can't find them. You would hear guitars playing in the middle of the night because he was a musician. Him just watching us, which was wonderful.
Did you see
then
him
Then I
again?
Had a little boy by the name of Georgie that came. And he was about, I don't know, about four.
This is the ghost?
Yeah, this is another one. And he had, like, a little sailor suit on. He was so cute. And he used to walk around the house. Sorry?
No, it's interesting. Go on.
Okay. He used to walk around the house when it was really quiet, when everyone went to bed, and bounce his ball all over the place and play and throw his ball down the stairs and chase after it and so on. One day I got so mad. I go, okay, listen, you know, we're trying to sleep here. Like, that's it. Be quiet.
Now, this was all noises. Was this noises you heard, or could you actually see him?
I saw him. I see them. I hear them. I talk to them.
Really? Wow.
You know, it's a gift. I think a lot of people have come to me because of the fact that their loved ones have, you know, passed away. And I can see them. I can hear them. And a lot of the times, you know, they have unfinished business here. I was on the Carney Wilson show in New York.
Really?
Yeah, a long time ago. And anyway, on the show was a couple by the name of Mr. and Mrs. Warren, who were from England, I believe.
Ed and Lorraine Warren?
Yes. You know her?
Yeah, they're demonologists.
They're what?
They're ghost hunters and demonologists. They're demonologists?
Yes. And they were on the panel. And they basically turned around and said to me, so they said, you know, of all the people on the panel, you have the gift. And it was really nice coming from them because I know that they've done this research for a long time.
Oh, they're amazing.
They've been doing that. He passed away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's doing Paranormal State right now, which I saw her on a couple of shows. Beautiful people. Very nice people.
They've certainly made a big contribution to the field.
Oh, have they?
They've
written books, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. I didn't really have a chance to really talk to them that much after the show, but because they had to go back. But it was just a real pleasure meeting them. Very nice people.
Wow.
And let's see, what other ones have we had? Well, I want to go back to my UFO story. Is that okay? I have another one.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. I was at my friend's house by the name of Wendy. And another gentleman by the name of Leo. We were all sitting around the table, and we were talking about Ashtar and, you know, the things that we've been taught and shown and learned. And I got this really nagging feeling, go outside, go outside, go outside. Preston, you have to understand, it was snowing so bad, and it was so cold.
Wow.
And I said to Wendy, I says, we got to go outside. And she said, I'm not going outside. It's cold out there. I said, no, you got to go outside. So finally I got it to go outside. And she says, okay. She says, I'm just going to go outside and I'm going to come right back in. I said, okay. So she didn't bother taking a coat, nothing. She just came outside. And, of course, Leo came with us. So we're all standing in front of the house. And Leo looks at me and goes, so why are we here? I said, I don't know. I don't know why we're here. Something just told me to come outside. A few minutes later, I was standing outside, and of course, Wendy wants to go back inside again. I says, no, just stay here for a few minutes. Trust me. Then a light come down, a beam of light on top of us.
Wow.
Again, it was snowing really, really hard. And when we were standing outside, we had no snow on us, Wendy wasn't cold, and it was just a beautiful experience. Like, this whole light came right around us, and if you looked up past the clouds, you could see a triangular craft right above us. And it was really, really breathtaking, to say the least. So that's another story.
Well, what did the... You could actually feel the light?
Yes, this one was really warm. This one was warm on us. Like I said, it was raining... I'm sorry, snowing so hard. And yet we had not one drop of snow on us. When we went inside, we were both dry. And we were out there for 45 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
45 minutes.
How high up was this shift, do you think? You had to ask
me. You could see it. I mean, you could see that it was a triangle. You could see the lights underneath that. I'm not good to tell you as far as distance is concerned, but I tell you that I could see the whole shape of it, and I could see the lights. So that to me would show you that that was pretty close.
Right.
It wasn't that far.
Wow.
But I think the most fascinating thing that ever happened to me was one night I went to bed, and I guess it was I was in a dream state, but it was real again, you know, like you have that.
Right.
And I felt that I was taken and brought, this is going to sound really weird, but it truly, it did happen. I was taken out to the universe in my body, well, maybe not my body form, but in my form. And I was shown the planet. And I was shown how beautiful this planet is. And how,
wow.
You know, the colors and just how it stands out. Because they said that our planet is very easy to target and to see because of the colors.
Huh.
Yeah, just looking at it, and I remember being in awe and how beautiful it was. But then I looked to my right, and I saw four crafts just hovering right there, just hovering. And they were black. They were like
octagonal?
Yes, shape. And they were just there. There was like four of them.
Huh.
They weren't big, and they weren't small, but they were like, you know, there was no windows. You couldn't see any windows. There was no lights on them at all. They were just sitting there.
Wow.
And
that
was
so
another
cool.
Experience. That was wonderful. I love that.
Sounds
that
beautiful.
It was. It was absolutely gorgeous. And I wish that a lot of people would be able to see that and to see how beautiful the planet is. And then you zoom in and you see all the things that are going on.
Right, right. I've had a lot of out-of-body experiences, so I kind of know a little bit.
Where'd you go?
Oh, all over the place.
Is it?
All over the place.
Isn't it wonderful?
Oh,
it's a wonderful...
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it.
It
changed
is.
My life.
I had those, too. I went to Europe. I went all over the place. It was absolutely fantastic. Oh, yeah, but you know what? The only thing I don't like about it is when you're coming back...
Uh-huh.
And when you come back into your body, it's like a huge thump, and like your
right.
whole body shakes. You know, it's like the soul coming back in again. It's like
right.
when the soul leaves, that's your out-of-body experience. And it's like, you know, basically having a holiday from the body. It just goes wanders wherever they want to go, and it just comes back again.
It's so much fun. You get to fly and walk through walls, and oh, it's just amazing.
I know. I had that too. It was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Well, Lillian, our time is pretty much up. I want to thank you, though, for being
oh,
on the
no.
show.
Oh, no, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was fast.
It did go fast. Boy, your stories are interesting. I mean, I had
thank
interviewed
you.
You before, but wow, that's amazing. I'm so,
well,
so happy
all,
that
you know, they're all true to form.
With us.
Well, thank you. And you know what? My greatest wish is, you know, for the government to basically stop lying to us that they're not out there. Yeah, they are.
Right.
You know. But what happens is no matter how much you try to say no, they're not, they'll come in. They'll show you. You know, that they are there.
Right.
So, but it was a real pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh,
and,
you're welcome.
I like to say hi to everybody that's listening that I know. And when's your book coming out?
Well, the one about UFOs I'm still working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll probably come up sometime next year if I can line up the publisher pretty quickly. I shouldn't have a problem with that. Because I'm working closely with a publisher right now who's publishing my next book on ghosts, actually.
Oh, I have stories for you.
Oh, really?
I have more.
Well, I'll have to call you up and get another interview from you.
Well, of course. I mean, I didn't say half of the things that I wanted to say.
Yeah, I'll have to have you back on the show, too, definitely.
Well, thank you.
You're a lot of fun and very, very, very interesting.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Lillian, I'm going to have to say goodbye. Our time is up.
Okay. All right, honey.
All right. Thank
you.
Thanks. Well, everyone, that is our show for tonight. I want to thank you all for listening. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight has been Lillian Vinkovich. And, wow, if you had a chance to listen to her, she's got a lot of very interesting things to say. What an amazing, nice lady. I hope you all enjoyed this show as much as I did, and I hope you can join us next week when I bring on another exciting guest to talk about UFOs and the paranormal on BBS Radio. Till then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.